The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
How are we going to talk about here? Advance key priorities affecting teachers. Going to be talking about teachers again. Teachers. I just did Saturday, I was doing a show there on 105 when I was talking about some of the old school teachers, boy, and people were calling in about the old school teachers and some of the things teachers used to do. On 14th of May, the Ministry of Education held a productive meeting with representatives of the Trinidad and Tobago Unified Teachers Association Tutor, during which several critical matters concerning teachers, schools, and the wider education system were discussed. The meeting formed part of the ministry's ongoing commitment to strengthening collaboration with key stakeholders and ensuring that the concerns of educators remain central to national education efforts. Among the priority matters discussed were teacher salary. Of course, you must put in the salary. Arrears backup, right? Filing of vacancies, processing of leave and other benefits. Improving service efficiencies within the ministry. School upgrade and infrastructural improvement programs and strengthening support for safety and health committees within schools nationwide. All right, so we have our guest here, Nigel Fagara. I believe he would have been here last week. Let's talk about many of the advancements or positives of that meeting. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm okay, sir. Mm-hmm. Right.
I just want to say that I have my colleague waiting to be let in.
Oh,
different spaces.
Yeah, boy.
So I don't know if you agree, but
yeah, I see the colleague there. So, like, every day here is Teacher's Day, boy. Tutor Day. Every Monday.
Well, well, I appreciate that because we always need to highlight the cause of our educators, you know, because educators, we are the backbone of society. You know, they say that teachers are the one that creates every profession, right? So I really appreciate and I thank you for letting us in. So thank you.
Yeah, man. So what came out of this meeting?
So this would have been the first meeting we actually had with the Ministry of Education and their officials for the year 2026. It would have also been the first meeting where we would have met with the two newly appointed acting permanent secretaries within the Ministry of Education. And I would like to say that I'm very heartened by the approach that these two individuals are taking, right? P.S. Williams and P.S. Cashman. They really have a open policy, and it seems from the first meeting that they're really willing to work towards, you know, trying to resolve some of the very, very long-standing issues that we would have had, right? Saying coming out of this meeting, let me say this. I know some of your listeners, maybe teachers. So the very first instance, we would have spoken about the arrears on salaries. So salaries were only the new salaries, which we negotiated for in April of 2025, those salaries only came to play March of 2026, almost 11 months it took to the implementation of those salaries. I think that's a record because new salaries after negotiations don't normally take this long. So therefore now the burning question going forward would have been the implementation of the arrears on the salaries, and that would have generated quite a bit of discussion. So, and I must be honest to say that the Ministry of Education in their part and the technocrats and the persons working at the ministry, they are working feverishly to complete the calculations so that the arrears on the salary could be paid. However, though, what's very, very alarming at this point is that there's a non-committal of an actual date when those funds will be made available. Because we understand something. Even though the calculations are made and the ministry is ready for the payout, now it comes squarely back on the Minister of Finance and the Ministry of Finance to make those funds available. And that is a particular issue where the association with Tutor has serious concerns with, because it's in the public domain that the Minister of Finance has not been communicating with the association. We have had no communications with the Minister of Finance, and it's not for a lack of trying, because we have written to the Minister of Finance, we have emailed the Minister of Finance, we even printed a physical letter and went to deliver it at his office, and yet still we're getting no correspondence. So we are very, very skeptical and watchful of the developing situations. And I can tell you this, our members are a bit frustrated. And I'll tell you why they're frustrated. I mean, teachers give their all. And I know some of your callers might call in and want to talk about that one or two errant teachers in the system. But the majority of teachers give their all and sacrifice on a daily basis. And then being placed in this position, feeling forgotten, is not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling at all.
All right. So the negotiations for your salary negotiation. That's it.
Well, that was just one aspect, the major aspect. But we treated with a lot of different issues and a lot of different aspects, you know? And I wanted to highlight that one early in the interview. Right, but the ministry would have put forward their plans to modernize and the education system, and we would have put forward some issues that were long plaguing the system as well too. The ministry gave their commitment to working with us, as well as we gave our commitment to working with them. But we'll all have to wait and see now the follow through. And we are very watchful, because we have gotten commitments before, and I'll tell you that we have gotten commitments before that, yes, we will have the meetings, yes, we will treat with individual members matters, and then there's no follow through whatsoever. I don't know if my colleague want to chime in at this point here.
Colleague was let into the room. Hello.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Good afternoon to you and your viewers.
Yeah, you need to raise your volume a little bit so we can hardly hear you.
Oh, one moment. My laptop giving some trouble. Tell me if it's better now.
It could be a little better, but we'll work with that.
Yeah, that's what happened. Let me talk about violence in schools. I think last week that was the topical one, violence in schools. So we had some conversation about that at the meeting last week. And one of the critical areas would be the staffing of the Student Support Services Division. Student Support Services right now is woefully understaffed. And these are the persons with the technical expertise, the social workers, the guidance officers, the guidance instructors who will help children to sort through their feelings, why they're behaving this way. These are the persons who are best placed to get to the root of the issues that the students will have, to help them to be better able to cope rather than lashing out. However, if we don't have enough of these persons, then we are really setting ourselves up for a catastrophe, because then the children don't have that kind of support that they need. And then we also have, on the other side, we have teachers who have to deal with violence in school, who have to deal with different stresses. And there is, at this time, no employee assistance program. And we can split hairs and say, well, there is something in place, but there's a payment issue, so we're working it out. But to the person who needs support right away, there is no employee assistance program. And they have to find money that they sometimes don't have, and some persons can't find it. So we have some teachers in schools who are on the brink because there is no employee assistance program in place.
All right. Somebody's asking here, were you getting communications? They say you're not talking to this finance minister. Well, were you getting communication from the previous finance minister?
Let me answer. So the short answer is yes, because we were the communication came through the CPO that $900 million was put aside to pay the back pay for teachers. And after election, the current finance minister in his maiden budget presentation said that, yes, there is $900 million put aside to ensure that teachers receive their back pay. But that is somewhat 8-9 months ago, and we don't know what is going on. And the Minister of Finance has gone totally silent when it comes to issues affecting members of the teaching service in Trinidad and Tobago.
All right. Anything else that came out in the meeting? I know we talked about salaries, the violence. Anything else of concern to teachers? I know you mentioned, recruiting new teachers. Remember last week I was talking to you about having more male teachers? Anything came up about making teaching more attractive to men?
Well, that wasn't an agendaed item, and that didn't really come up to say that making teaching attractive to men. But what we did speak about, was some measures that the ministry want to put in place actually to make the whole process a little easier. And I saw it in their release as well too, where they spoke about a ticketing system, because I want you to understand, right, there are a lot of issues within the ministry where persons now would have problems lodging their complaints and trying to get some redress as it goes about. So this ticketing system that the ministry wants to put in place would now allow teachers a direct access to persons in the ministry where they would want to have their grievances raised or their concerns dealt with. If this comes to fruition, we think that this will be a very good step in modernizing the way in which we treat with teaching issues. You see, with any public service, especially within Trinidad and Tobago, workers will tell you that they have issues when it comes to the HR function. And we welcome any step in order to ease the bottleneck, you know? And everybody is complaining when they have to go to government offices to do businesses. So I think that's something positive. And I think that if that works out as well too, that could augur well for attracting persons into the service, right? But to say the direction to look to recruit more men, no, that didn't come up, but it's something that we're thinking about.
All right, definitely. And who were, besides the teachers, who were in attendance, was in attendance at these this particular meeting?
Okay, well, from the ministry side, we had all of the ministry officials. We had the permanent secretary, both permanent secretaries, the deputy permanent secretary, the director of school supervision, and a lot of their HR officers as well too. Another thing that came up, which I think was very topical at our last discussion, was the need for special need personnel in school. We asked a very pointed question to the panel as to when would these contracts and when would these personnel who assist children in the schools. I remember, I don't know if you remember our last interview, one of your callers spoke specifically to learning support assistants in the schools, which have not been rehired. And the ministry did give their commitment that they are looking to rehire some of those personnel, as well as they are trying to use the data to implement new strategies. We look forward to this coming to pass, because again, we have children with special needs in the regular school system, children that have to get concessions, you know. And one of the positives, and I must say, one of the positives, again, very watchful, what just spoke about is the need for diagnosis at a earlier stage. So let me tell you this. What normally happens, you would have students coming through the system, we're looking at primary school here, first year, second year, standard one, standard two. And then when they get to standard three, standard four, that's when the diagnosis take place. And then they had to write the SEA exam in standard five. And then that's when they're looking for an aid, or they had to get a special concession to write the SEA exam. So now they said that they want to place a little more emphasis on earlier diagnosis of the children, which would be a step in the right direction, right? Because that earlier diagnosis would help both the students and it will both help the teachers in the classroom as well, too.
All right, folks, if you just joined us, we're talking to our friends out there at Tutor for some more, you know, of course, teachers, and it's nice to know there's some dialogue going on for the improvement of teachers. And of course, you know, well, we agree with the improvement of teachers, but overall, what about improvement of, well, you know, students as best as we can? Anything that was touched on to improve, you know, for anything for the betterment of the students?
One of the things that we spoke about as well was furniture in schools,
uh-huh,
which is a real big issue. It's a massive issue. And we were given assurances that steps are being taken to ensure that students and teachers have adequate furniture. Because please understand, let me paint a picture for you. Imagine going to school and having to stand or lean up by a table or share a seat with somebody in order to do your work. You can understand how that will interfere with your ability to pay attention, your ability to function as a student or as a teacher. So the ministry gave the assurance that they are paying special attention to furniture in schools to ensure that students have the best learning environment. And as Comrade Figaro is saying, we are cautiously optimistic because the current reporting officer, that's Pierre Simone Williams, would have been a deputy permanent secretary in the Ministry of Education before, with responsibility for infrastructure. And she would have done her best to ensure that these things were taken care of. So coming from there and becoming the PS in charge of the Ministry of Education gives us some hope that things will get moving, because as we said last week, the last two PSs were very close to retirement. So, you know, they had very little to no impact or no positive impact because they were there for a very short time. And, you know, I don't think that there was any impetus to really get them doing things to change the ministry in the short time that they were there. But P.S. Williams is there for some time, and we're really looking forward to having some of these long-standing issues addressed. So that was something we did for the students. So we spoke about for the students.
All right, somebody was also asking about unfinished schools. Like there's a school in Prisal government. I'm sure there are others. Any talks about when these schools will be finished or if they intend to be finished at all?
Well, I know Comrade Ashley, president, would have raised that in the media sometime before. However, in the meeting on Thursday, we didn't discuss that, but we plan to have further discussions. And close to the top of that list will be unfinished schools, because we, in this country, there are a number of schools that were close to being finished, 80-something%, 90-something%. It hurts my heart when I talk about St. Joseph Secondary. There's a nice brand new school behind the current school that has been all but gutted now. Even the gate, the owners took. They came with a big truck, cut off the gate with torches and went with it. So that school went from being about 90% complete to
in the back of Kirib up there, and went back by the farm there.
Yeah.
Back of Wasa there. So where are those students now? They're in the old school? The old school still?
They said the old school, and the old school is full with problems, electrical problems, you know, leaking roofs, infrastructural problems. So these schools need to be built. The new buildings need to be built. But, of course, money is the problem, and the problem is money. So we don't know what can be done, but something needs to be done quickly, because as the The minister who paid a surprise visit to the meeting would have focused on the fact that more than 50% of the schools in the country are more than 50 years old. So you understand the infrastructural woes that we have. The schools are past their useful life, and the band-aids we keep putting on them will not, of course, solve the problem. They will give it some more life, but not the best life. So that is something that Tuta is willing to work with the ministry on to get better schools built for those that were started. And I know that Chrisal is what good foundation was done. Now it's overrun with rats and snakes and so on. And the school is housed in the community center. Similar instance with Jerningham, that the Jerningham Community Center now houses the Londonville Presbyterian School. So when schools have to be relocated, it doesn't only affect the parents and students and teachers, it affects our community, because now Jerningham doesn't have the full use of the community center, neither does Fraser, neither does Edinburgh 500, because we had the fire with our Palmer's government, and part of the school is being housed in the brand new Edinburgh 500 community center, and the community never took possession of it. The community center was opened to facilitate the school. So you see how there's a knock-on effect. When we have schools in a state of disrepair, it affects not only the population of the school, but also the communities that now have to give up infrastructure to allow for children to have their education.
All right, man. Somebody said in the pre-sale school, the children can't even play properly, and the principal is very unreasonable. Somebody was asking about the Tuta president. They don't hear from him. Does he? Is it that he don't like to speak to the media, or does we don't hear from him much, or somebody misinformed? Tuta president.
They are totally misinformed, Comrade Ash. The Tuta president, he is always in the media, always giving updates, all of these different things. I guess probably they're not tuning into the places where he's at. So I guess we need to turn up that visibility a little more then. I want to add another very critical issue that was heavily discussed at the meeting. And this issue really impacts students and teachers alike. And that was health and safety. Health and safety and the security within schools. We had a lot of discussions about security personnel, where, you know, tutor, we would have gotten reports of limited security personnel in big secondary schools, where there would be certain schools where they would have certain secondary schools where they would have one security officer for the day, which is not the custom and practice. And there were some schools where reported that security personnel, they wasn't paid as well to the security companies. And the ministry did assure us that they're working on paying these security companies. And we actually had some extensive discussions as to some new health and safety regulations that we want to partner, that the tutor and the Ministry of Education will be partnering with to roll out. Because I want you and your callers to appreciate that we live in changing times. We would have had recently where we would have had death threats. Right, you know, there was a time we had bomb threats. Now we're actually having shooting threats to teachers, shooting threats to various personnel on the compound. And because we live in these varying times, there's a new heightened security risk, and it's very intense. So what we find happening now is that the system that is in place is proven to be inadequate. And we actually working together to try to put systems in place to mitigate against the new threats that are arising with the changing times as well. I know my comrade here, Comrade Broom, sat on that committee, so I know he may want to expand on this.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Comrade. Before I expand on it, let me respond to that the caller who said that they're not hearing President Ash. President Ash is in the media so much that we thought he should have a press badge. So if the caller wants to suggest where she wants to hear the president speak, we could organize that. right? But I mean, here is the place. So if the children in here, that can be easily organized for the president to come and have a conversation so that persons can call in and speak with him, since I want to hear from him so much. But on the safety issue, there's a multi-sectoral committee involving the two main unions for education system, that be TUTA and the PSA, WASA, ODPM, fire service, TTPS, private sector. We came together to develop a document called the Emergency Operation Procedures. And that's for schools in this country, for a variety of emergencies, anything from hurricane to active shooter. There's a document, a very detailed document that speaks to these things. But there seems to have been some kind of communication failure because of, as I spoke before, of the changing PSs. So the ministry has given the assurance that we are going to work full steam ahead to ensure that the document and the policies contained therein are instituted so that principals in particular can be sure of what to do in the event of an attack. So 10 years ago in Trinidad and Tobago, we were not too concerned about active shooters and irate parents, you know, getting to the point of wanting to attack. But as times are changing in 2026, we know that we have instances where teachers are being threatened with hammers, children are being threatened by, students are being threatened by other students and so on. And these are not threats that they take lightly because, of course, of the gang culture we have going on in the country. So in terms of what to do, there is currently no established procedure. Persons take what is available and try to make a procedure. But if principals have this document and if we do the rollout as we need to do, then principals and middle management in schools will be sure as to what is the procedure if something like this should happen. And given our current climate, I think we need it sooner rather than later.
All right, gentlemen, very good. 12 minutes after 2 o'clock. Well, as we wrap it up, so what from the outcome, what do you see happening with the outcome of this meeting? Is dialogue and only minister was there? Is there going to be another meeting, or what's the way forward? Are we following up to make sure that things actually get done and it's not just talk?
Well, I'm extremely optimistic. However, though, at the same time, cautious. But what would augur well for going forward is that we have already set a meeting date for the month of June, and we have agreed on monthly meetings. So both on the ministry side and on the association side, basically, to put it in terms that we use, we would have both gotten some homework, and we need to get back. We need to send some emails and some correspondence out in preparation for that meeting in June. So as long as these lines and levels of communication stay open like this, we are optimistic that we can get some redress for teachers, for children, and for the education system, for the overall education system.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm sure we'll speak again. Keep us abreast of what's going on out there.
All right, man. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man.
And the next time I would ask the president to come on as well too.
No problem, man. That would be great. Yeah. All right, folks, our friends there from TUTA, let us know what's going on. Betterments with Base, we take a break and we continue.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.